Shall we pray? Father above in heaven, what a privilege it is for us to gather in this way and to sing hallelujah unto your glory. Indeed, only you deserve to be praised. And so we count ourselves blessed that we have such an opportunity as this to call upon your holy name. For you are God who reveal yourself to us in names. And so we pray now that, Lord, even as we mention upon your holy name, that we would do so with reverence, with great respect. For indeed, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so I pray now that even as we have gathered, that Lord, you would strengthen us in and through your word. But how can man ever comprehend these spiritual things unless you permit us by the presence of your Spirit? And so, Lord, we stand and we shall sit in quietness, desiring to hear from that which you have prepared for us. Indeed, we pray that in and through your word, you would comfort us, you would rebuke us, you would train us in righteousness, that we'd be thoroughly equipped for every good work in your kingdom. To that extent, we pray these things to the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I want to invite you, brothers and sisters, to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm 8, verse 9, and we shall read just that one verse, but also Psalm 9, verse 10. Psalm 8, verse 9, and we shall skip to Psalm 9, verse 10. I'll be doing a series of sermons on the subject, who is God? And we begin with an introduction this Tuesday, used to preaching in the church, and then going further. In about 4 weeks from now, we shall exhaust and we shall ask questions, finding out on who this God is and what does he say about himself. Because when it comes to God, man does not know God unless God reveals himself to us. It is not what we think of who he is, but it's what he says he is. And we should desire to know that. Psalm 8 verse 9, the Bible reads, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Skip to 9 verse 10. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Thus far we read God's word. Amen. It is very crucial for the writer, and it's very important, and so he emphasizes here, especially in verse 10, that those who come to know you, those who come to know your name, they put their trust in you. In what do you trust? In who do you trust? And it's because you have come to have some knowledge, so you put your trust in them. What is the very first thing we do when we meet people we do not know? I meet you for the first time. You don't know me. I don't know you. What is the very first thing we're going to do? Sorry? Introduction. And I cannot imagine an introduction without names. Have you ever had such an introduction? I come from Kempton Park and I'm lecturing at Mikanya and it ends there. It's not an introduction until you tell me your name and until I tell you my name. Names are very important. You and I do not easily trust people unless we know something about them. And obviously that includes names. The first thing we need to know about each other is our names. Then origin, where you're coming from, character perhaps, what you're doing, and the list goes on. We can't avoid names. In the same way, we need to know God as He reveals Himself in His names. Otherwise, how can we trust Him? If we don't know who He is, if we don't know His names, which reveal more of who God is. Imagine for a second a world without names. Just try to think about it. The world without names. It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable. We use names every day to distinguish things, but also ourselves from one another. We use names. Very important. Names reveal some specific purpose and character of the person they represent. I have a name, it represents me. But it also speaks more about my character. It also speaks something about who really Benjamin Charles Zulu is. In the ancient Near East, therefore, it was common to change one's name. Abraham became Abraham. Jacob became Israel. Simon was changed to Peter, and so was changed to Paul. Why? The name that you have communicates something. In the Bible, a person usually acted according to his name. I'm afraid if you're here and you don't know what your name means, you should know something of where that name comes from. In the Bible, a person usually acted according to his name. For example, Nabal, foolish. What does the Bible tell us? 1 Samuel 25, verse 25, it says, "For as his name is," listen carefully, "for as his name is, so he is. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him." If your name is foolish, we expect foolishness from you. You act according to your name. We can give another example. Yeshua, also translated as Jesus, Savior. He acted according to his name. Listen to 1 John 4:14. "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." He is Yeshua. He is Jesus, Savior. And so he acted as Savior. He saves man from the wrath of God. Names convey meaning. Names reveal something about each one of us. And so when you hear this name, what you know about that name begins to flash in your mind. In the same way, God has given Himself names to reveal Himself to us. Now, these are not names which man began to orchestrate or to make about God, but God himself revealed names to us, which obviously are going to convey a message of who God really is. Calvin refers to this as accommodation to our capacity to understanding. So he says, only let us remember that God condescends to us in order to rise us up to himself. That's what he does. He lowers himself, coming to us, and so he gives us these names, which obviously we're going to understand, so that he can take us up to himself. And so these names that we read in the Bible, they're going to help us understand who God is. He condescends, he comes down to us, so that if we understand something of what these names are communicating, then he lifts us up to himself. God wants us to understand him through his revealed names. For example, when he calls himself our King and our Father, God wants us to understand that it is him we must respect and honor. If we have earthly kings and president and we respect them and we must honor them, how much more him, creator of all things, if he reveals himself, of which he does, that he is King of kings and that he is Father. He speaks to us in a language, he condescends, he comes low down to us to make us understand something of who he is. Clearly, God's name represent him. And that's where the psalmist is at. God's name represents him. God's name distinguish him from his creation. God's name reveal his nature, his character, his work, and how he relates with us. He's a relational God. And so he relates with his creation. The psalmist, therefore, exhorts us to know the majestic name of God so that we are able to trust him. Again, let me read verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10. Here is an exhortation. We must know the name of God and put our trust in him. And those who know your name, it's crucial, it's important that you and I must know the name of God. Those who know your name, put their trust in you. How can man ever trust God if God does not reveal himself to you and I? Of which he does, through his names. The psalmist says, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you, those who put their trust in you. So I want us to look at this theme, very obvious. Who is God? That's the main question. And to answer that question, we begin with, what is his name? And then going further, in the weeks to come, we're going to look at his nature. Who is God? What is his nature? Who is God? Well, what is his character? What is his work? What does he do? How does he relate with us? But to begin with, who is God? What is his name? And so, there are so many names which God reveals in the scriptures, and we are just going to look at really very few basics, and from there try to see what is God communicating through this name. And the very first name that I want us to look at is Elohim. Elohim. Now, this is the first name for God found in the Bible. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, Elohim created. It's used throughout the Old Testament over 2,300 times. This name reveals God to be having strength or power. Because immediately it says, in the beginning, Elohim created. He has ability to create. Now, I want you to think here with me. For this building to be what it is, obviously, there was some energy to create it. You're thinking of power, strength was needed, equipment was needed to really construct this building. And God, who condescends and comes to us, when he reveals this name, he wants us to understand it, but even deeper, to understand something of who he is. And so here we find, in the beginning, Elohim created. He has the strength, he has power to create. Oh, when these men who are building came up with this building, they had to sweat, really. They had to work hard. When they go home, they're complaining, yo, they feel, you know, all these pains and everything, but not so with Elohim. He'll just speak, let there be trees, and trees were there. He has so much power such that he doesn't have to sweat like you and I. He has so much strength. In the beginning, Elohim created. He is God who creates. He's God who initiates. Unless he creates, that which we can see and cannot see would have never been there. Elohim has this unusual character. If you look at it, those who are Hebrew fascinated, it's in the plural. How many gods do we have? How many gods do we worship? Elohim is in the plural. Elohim has this unusual character of being in the plural form. Now, right from the beginning, this plural form for the name of God is used to describe the one true God. There we read in Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Yes, he is one God, and yet he revealed himself in three persons. It's God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Of the same nature. And yet, we see the Son taking his respective responsibility. The Holy Spirit also does his duties, as the Father does his duties. And yet, he is one God. And this teaching is revealed throughout the scriptures. Now, Elohim also, we read in the scriptures, we find these combinations. And each time we combine Elohim with another name, it brings this aspect. It brings us to this understanding of some specific characteristics of God. And that's very important. I'm going to quickly give examples here for the sake of time. You know, we have these combinations in the scriptures. Elohei Kadem, God of the beginning. If he does not create, if he does not initiate, nothing would have ever existed. Elohei Mishpat. Now, we're looking at combinations. Elohim with this other name, which obviously gives us some specific characteristic of God. Elohei Mishpat, God of justice. That's how God reveals himself. He says, justice is my name. Just when you live in the world where there is hardly justice, or you turn to the courts and you complain, but even the courts are corrupt, God says, I am. You can turn to me for the standard of what justice really is. Reading further, we find Elohei, Selikot, God of forgiveness. Who is God? He is forgiving. Elohei Marom, God of heights. Elohei Mikarov, God who is near. Elohei Mauz, God of my strength. Elohei Tehilaiti, God of my praise. Elohei Yish, God of my salvation. Elohei Kadosh, God who is holy. Elohei Shaim, the living God. Elohei Elohim, God of gods. all these combinations, every time they bring some specific characteristic of who God really is. Names are important. And so God has given all these names to us that we be able to understand something of who He really is. And do what? According to Psalms 9:10, put our trust in Him. Now that you know who He is, that He is the God of gods, that He is the living God, that He is holy, He is the God who saves, is strong, who is near and never far removed from us, He says, put your trust in Him. That's what the psalmist is saying. Know His name. So that what? So that you put your trust in God. You see, people trust a lot of things because that's what they've come to be told about those things. Can I give examples here? When a child is born, at least you are told, put something in the neck, something in the waist, something here. That's the knowledge you have. And so you trust those things and you do those things. Have you seen what knowledge does to you? The psalmist is saying, know the name of God that you put your trust in Him. Not what you think about God, but what God says about Himself. Going further, we find a shortened version of Elohim, El. Now, this is another name used for God, as we find in the scriptures. This is a short form of Elohim. Those who are interceding for me, just remember I'm going to ask questions. El appears about 200 times in the Old Testament. And when El is combined with other words, again, we find, you know, an emphasis of some specific characteristics of God. For instance, we have these combinations, El Hane, Eman, the faithful God, El Hagadel, the great God, El Hagadosh, the holy God, El Yisrael, the God of Israel, El Hashamayim, the God of the heavens, El Deot, the God of knowledge, El Emet, the God of truth, El Yeshuat, the God of my salvation, El Elyon, the most high God, Immanuel El, you can guess that, perfect God with us, El Alam, the God of eternity, El Eshad, the one God. Now, each time we find these combinations, they help us to understand some specific aspects, some specific characteristics of God. Only He is eternal. He has no beginning. He has always existed. He is and forever He will be. And so He reveals Himself and He says, well, I am El Olam, the eternal God. You must know that for you to be able to put your trust in Him who is eternal. In Him who is never going to fail you. In Him who speaks the whole truth, for He is truthful. The God of truth. In Him who is great and faithful. How many times have you been promised things by the people you have come to love and they have so greatly disappointed you? God is not like man. He reveals Himself to be the truth. We must know who God is. And we begin by striving to know His name that we be able to put our trust in Him. Thirdly, we find Ella. Now, this is another name for God used about 70 times, not so common in the scriptures. We find it about 70 times in the Old Testament. Again, when combined with other words, we see, you know, a different attribute of God being revealed. Elah Yerushalayim, God of Jerusalem. I have scriptures. And then Elah Yisrael, God of Israel. Elah Shemaiah, God of heaven. Elah Shemaiah Vra, God of heaven and earth. Let me just give some remarks on the very last one there. Elah Shemaiah Vra, God of heaven and earth. It is crucial, it's important for you and I to know that God is not limited to some specific place. He reveals himself and he says, I am God in heaven and here on earth. You see, sometimes, and let me say this, if you do not have this proper understanding of who God is, it's why you're going to deceive yourself and think, well, now I'm in this corner, I'm all by myself and I can do whatever I please. My pastor doesn't know, my parents do not know, and well, even God is there in heaven. He doesn't know what I'm doing here. Yahweh reveals himself and he says, look, I am God in heaven and here on earth. You can never run away from God. The psalmist says, where can I ever go where I would not find your presence? If I go in heaven, you are there. Here on earth, God is there. Deep, he is there. He is God in heaven. He is God here on earth. He is God in the deep. You can never run away from him. Jonah attempted. Did he succeed?
No.
He is Allah, Shemaiah, Vara, the God of heaven and earth. Today we think of, you know, the CCTV cameras, you know, which we can put, and we have one here. And we can trust on them to say, well, when people come, we are going to see them. If they rob, they break, and we are going to have an idea or something like that. But guess what? Our CCTV cameras are very limited. Very limited. They don't see 360 degrees at one time. They don't see everything, especially this one. Ours just sees this side. Doesn't see what is happening the other side. If you read the scriptures, it says, the eye of God is in all places, keeping watch on the evil and on the righteous. You can never escape this great God. A proper understanding of who God is changes how you think, how you do things, and actually it compels you to put your trust in him. God, you are in all places. I can never, ever run away from you. I can never assume to do anything and think, well, he doesn't know about this. Proper understanding of who God is brings us to a proper worship. It brings us to this point where he says, Lord, I surrender. You are the great God. The psalmist says, how majestic is your name? Because God himself is majestic. And so his name is majestic. And finally, we find Yahweh. What is revealed in this name? Or Yahweh is the Hebrew word translated Lord. Many times we find this in the scriptures. About 7,000 times. It is found more often in the Old Testament. And the title is also referred to as Tetragrammaton, meaning the four letters, Yahweh. Now, this verb, Yahweh, comes from the Hebrew verb to be. Yes, we have the noun Yahweh, but it comes from the Hebrew verb to be. And this is the special name that God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. And God said to Moses, listen, according to Exodus 3, 14 to 15, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is God himself is revealing who he is, not what man is thinking about God. This is not Moses giving God a name. But God says, this is who I am. Who is God? God says, this is my eternal name, and this is how I am to be called, not only by you, Moses, but he says, for all generations. I am to be called Yahweh. For all generations. You see, like I said earlier on, man does not know God unless God reveals himself to man. Therefore, Yahweh declares God's absolute being, the source of everything, without beginning and without end. You see, when the Jews came to the understanding of the greatness of how majestic Yahweh is, actually, they were so hesitant even to mention that name, Yahweh. And so they replaced it by Adonai, to which most of the scholars even today would replace Yahweh with Adonai. Yahweh is also combined with other names to reveal some specific characteristics of God. And so we find Yahweh Elohim, Lord God. Yahweh Makadesh, the Lord who makes holy. Unless he cleanses you and I, you remain filthy before him. Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who sees or provides. Yahweh Nisi, the Lord my banner. Yahweh Shalom, the Lord of peace. Yahweh Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Yahweh Osainu, the Lord our maker. Unless he creates us, we would never exist. You see, God each time reveals himself, who he is, in names. He condescends. He comes so low to us, because he knows this is the language my children are going to understand. And once they've understood, I want them to put their trust in me. In conclusion, God reveals himself in all his names, but even more so in Yeshua, Jesus, our Savior. You see, the Lord who revealed himself as Yahweh in the Old Testament also reveals himself as Yeshua, Jesus, in the New Testament. How wonderful is that? Jesus shares the same attributes as Yahweh, and he clearly claims to be Yahweh. Now I know, this may sound friendly among us, but very, very disturbing outside there. Not everybody believes that Jesus is Yahweh, that Jesus is God. But in John 8, 56-9, Jesus presented himself as, I am. It's interesting, I gave you a passage where God says, this is my eternal name, by which all generations must know me that I am who I am. That's what God said to Moses. And very interesting, Jesus says, I am he. I am. The Hebrew people understood very well what this implies. John 8, 56, 9. Jesus says, I am. When he was challenged by some Jewish leaders regarding his claim of, you know, seeing Abraham, who lived about, you know, 2,000 years earlier, Jesus replied, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. The same name God of the Old Testament says, all generations must remember me and must know me by this name, I am. The Jewish leaders understood that Jesus was claiming to be Yahweh. And we see it in their actions. They want to stone him and they accuse him for blasphemy. How dare you claim to be Yahweh? I am. because he is who he is. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Paul declares, if you confess with your mouth, Yeshua, O Lord, you shall be saved. Paul says, Yeshua, Yahweh, is your salvation, is the one you should confess. And with that, he is implying to Jesus, if only you can confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Yahweh, you shall be saved. He is Savior, isn't he? He is acting according to his name. Immediately, therefore, in Romans 10:13, Paul backs up this declaration by quoting the Old Testament. What does he say? He says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, Yahweh, will be saved. My dear brothers and sisters, calling on Yeshua, Jesus, as Lord is the same as calling him Yahweh, because Jesus is Lord. The Messiah foretold throughout the entire Old Testament, he is Emmanuel. We learned from the Old Testament that he is God who is near to us like a father in a house, not far removed from us, but near to us. And what is the other name of Jesus? Emmanuel, God with us. You know, in other passages we learn that actually Jesus, he is the exact imprint of who God is, of God. And so Jesus can safely say, if you see me, you have seen my Father. He is Yahweh. We must know God to put our trust in him. We must know Jesus to be able to come to this point of salvation. He is Yeshua, Jesus, Savior. And he acts, and he acted according to his name. Shall we pray? Father, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we indeed can come to you with boldness and with confidence, that indeed we are your children. We thank you for this faith to believe in Christ Jesus, our salvation. It pleased you, O God, to send us the Savior. It pleased you to come to us and to dwell among us, for you are God who is near to us. And we see that clearly in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He lived among us. Him who is God, him who has no beginning nor end, condescended into man, that we should know him and put our trust in him, and that we should be able to worship you in truth and in spirit. Father, we are so thankful for how can man ever genuinely worship you unless you reveal yourself to us. And so Jesus reveals worship and says, true worshipers worship the Father in truth and in spirit. And so Jesus reveals God, Yahweh, to be spirit. Please, Lord, help us to genuinely worship you. Help us by the presence of your Spirit to know you as you reveal yourself, and not to have these self-estimations of who God is. Never to speculate, for clearly you reveal yourself in these names. We pray that by the guidance of your Spirit, Lord, you will bring to heart what we have learned and trust you that indeed just when we see the brokenness in this world, injustice, that we can trust you to say,
the standard of justice is with our God. Just when we see there's so much inconsistencies in this world, we can trust in that you are forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. You're God who never changes. Please, Lord, help us to trust in you. These things we have prayed in Christ's name.